2 Kings 20, we're going to pick up here at verse number 9, 2 Kings 20, verse 9. And you know what's going on? Hezekiah was sick unto death. Lord told him, get his house in order, you're going to die. He turned his face to the wall and prayed. Lord's going to give him 15 more years. All right. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, put it in a boil, and he recovered. But verse 8, we looked at verse 8 last week. Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me? And that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day. So now the boil got better, but I mean, again, that's a symptom. But he's saying, how am I going to know I'm healed? And I will go up to the house of the Lord the third day. And again, it's not wrong for him to ask for the sign. God told his father Ahaz to ask for a sign. The Jews require a sign, so he's not really done wrong in doing this. But look at verse 9. And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Okay. Now, all right. So notice this, the sundial of Ahaz. And I think we'll find out later on that that's where there was a sundial, I guess, that his father had set up that, you know, that kept time. All right. And so, you know, this is how a sundial works. Okay. So you've got... let me get over here where I can take and do it right. A sundial naturally only works during the day. So I'll work at night, all right? So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 hours in the day, all right? Start at 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m., 11 a.m., 12 noon, 1 p.m., 2 p.m., 3 p.m., 4 p.m., 5 p.m., 6 p.m., okay? Well, you divide that also up in degrees. You've got start 0 degrees, 15 degrees, 30 degrees, 45 degrees, 60 degrees, 75 degrees, 90 degrees, 105 degrees, 120 degrees, 135 degrees, 150 degrees, 165 degrees, 180 degrees. All right? Now, in one hour, all right, you've got, okay, there's 12 hours in a day, 720 minutes in a day. The sun moves at a rate of 4 minutes per degree. Okay? So from 6 to 7, that takes up 15 degrees. 15 degrees, okay? And so you got little tick marks in here, okay? Each one of these, the sun moves at 4 minutes per degree. 4 minutes per degree. All right, 15 degrees per hour. 10 degrees would be 40 minutes. You know, 15 times 4 is 60, all right? 10 times 4 is 40. 40 minutes. And one of the reasons I'm telling you that is when the Bible says 10 degrees, well, how much time is that? It's 40 minutes. That's 40 minutes. That's an interesting time. That's interesting. Instead of an hour, but an interesting time. Isaiah by the Lord tells him, shall the shadow return, go forward 10 degrees or back 10 degrees? 10 degrees is 40 minutes. All right, so get that. 10 degrees are 40 minutes. All right, that's how much time. That's how much time. And again, we might wonder, well, what, 40 minutes? And listen, that's not just that's just the way sundial works, and that's the way the sun moves, and that's just a fact. All right, that's a fact. The sundial moves 10 degrees would be 40 minutes. There it is. All right. So the thing of it is, Hezekiah, do you want it to go forward 40 minutes, or backward 40 minutes? Forward 10 degrees, backward 10 degrees. Okay, that's the thing that's being asked. Now, there's something I think significant in this kind of thing. We'll get to in a minute. Now, again, this is going to be a gain, depending upon how he calls it. This is going to be a gain or loss of 40 minutes, depending upon which he chooses. If it goes forward, the time will be lost. In other words, okay, if he says, okay, let it go forward 10 degrees, okay, then you're going to lose 40 minutes. If it goes backward 10 degrees, time will be gained. All right? So look at verse 10. And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. Now, if the shadow goes down, that means, again, if the shadow goes down, you're just pushing time forward. If the shadow goes back, you're moving time backward, all right? If the shadow goes down 10 degrees, 40 minutes will be lost. If the shadow goes backward 10 degrees, 40 minutes will be gained, okay? Hezekiah considers the latter to be a heavier thing. Because think about it. It's the natural impetus of most things is what? Forward. Forward. Okay? That's the motion that we are naturally tending toward. To go back in time is to go against the natural tendency of things. Yea, of time itself. So, that evidently is what Hezekiah is thinking when he says, look, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Because think of it, that's how things are already moving anyway. That's just a natural forward. But to go back, that means you've lost time. That means to go back like that, he goes, that's a different matter, okay? But it's no great matter to the Lord. But it is a greater thing in our view of things because it is so contrary to the natural order. So when Hezekiah says that, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees, nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. Not that it's one's more heavier than other than for the Lord. One's neither here or there for the Lord. But to us, to our view of things, going back, I mean, because everything's always going forward. That's just what we're used to. We know that. But to go back, that's a different matter. And we're not talking about, and brethren, you understand, we're not talking about resetting your clock. We're not talking about you resetting a clock. And we say, well, we lose or gain an hour. No, no, no. The sun is going back in that sundial. And there's going to be some time you gain time in the sense of you started all over, but you go backward in time. You're going backward with this thing. All right? Now, and if you ever read the word, somebody says, well, that was just a local thing, just to that sundial. No, 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 no. We're going to find out that in Babylon, they hear about this thing. They know about it. They know about it. They know about it, and evidently they figure that maybe they've got some insight on it there in Israel. We'll see about that in a little bit. All right? Now, so, brethren, we can always rush ahead and push things forward. That's our natural tendency. But to go back to what has been done is impossible except with the Lord. Except with the Lord. Go to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verse 26. Matthew 19, 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Go to Luke 1. Luke 1. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Go to Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Genesis 18, verse 14. Genesis 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Okay. Go to Jeremiah 32. And it's been amazing how you can imagine, you can hear skeptics saying, what? There's no, for that to happen, everything would have been all, that's just foolish. You would tell me that the God that made all things in instant of time can't do that and have everything adjust and have everything to work. There's no problem with the Lord. It's no problem at all for God to take and do that. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. And there's not. All right, so look at 2 Kings 20, verse 11. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. So again, what are 10 degrees? That's 40 minutes. 40 minutes. Because remember, look, the sun moves at a rate of 4 minutes per degree. 4 minutes per degree. Okay? And so with a movement at 4 minutes per degree, 15 degrees per hour. 15 degrees per hour. Okay, so 10 minutes, if you got these ticks on the thing, all right, 10 degrees would be 40 minutes. So what happens is they're looking at the sun now, right? And all of a sudden, that thing goes back. Well, it's just trick with smoke and mirrors. No, that's the God of the universe bringing things back and doing it. Yeah, but it would have thrown off. Come on now. The God that can do that can make sure that everything maintains the right order and everything's good to go. Well, there's no problem. There's no problem there, whatever, with that. All right? Listen. But here's the interesting thing. All right? Now, how the Lord did it, we don't know. He just did it. But you don't worry about that. I mean, how he just did it. All right? It happened. Now, but notice this. This is interesting. Notice the Lord picked the parameters of the sign. I want you to listen to this. The Lord picked the parameters of the sign. It would be 10 degrees, 40 minutes, but the direction is going to be given to Hezekiah. Now, why? Brother, God don't just do stuff to do it. All right? Think about it. God sets the time. 10 degrees, which is going to be 40 minutes. 10 degrees, 40 minutes. All right? God sets that. But he says to Hezekiah, but which way? Forward or backward? Which way? Forward or backward? And Hezekiah goes back, chooses backward. Now here's the interesting thing. 10 is a Gentile number. In biblical numerics, 10 is a Gentile number. All right? Genesis chapter 10, you see the list of the nations there. In the Bible, 12 is associated with the nation of Israel. 10 is a Gentile number. That's why you have there in the book of Daniel and Revelation those 10 kings, the 10 toes of that beast. 10 is a Gentile number, all right? 40 minutes. 40 in the Bible is the number of probation or testing, okay? It's the number of probation or testing. So 10's the number of Gentiles. You can just see that consistently. 40 is the number of a probation or testing time. And notice it has to do with a shadow. A shadow. So, Hezekiah, and this is, it's an awesome thing when you think about it here a minute. Hezekiah is giving a foreshadowing of the test he will go under by the Babylonian Gentile ambassadors. If he could only have realized. See, listen, I told you he asked for God to extend for it to give him more years, not let him die. Okay? And he pleaded based on, God, I've tried to serve you, God, I've tried to. All right? The better ground would have been on the fact of, God, you're merciful, you're good, if it's your will to do this. But he asked God to do it. God said, okay, 15 more years. But it turned into a testing time for him. And remember what I told you last week? I said, look here, and I'll say it to you again real quick. Brethren, be careful. Be careful about the... the ground that you plead upon. Be careful. Lord, I've served you. I've done right by you. God, I've done. Okay. God's going to prove and show. The Bible, it says it later on in the Chronicles. God's going to prove and show where Hezekiah's heart's at. So notice that what happens, okay? What is involved in this sign? What's involved in this sign? A shadow. 10 degrees, 40 minutes. 10's the number of Gentiles. Babylonian ambassadors, Gentiles, are going to come and they're going to be used to test Hezekiah. And notice this thing has to do with a shadow. He's getting a foreshadowing of what's going to take place right just ahead. All right? And here's the thing. God sets the parameters. It's up to Hezekiah. Will it go forward or will it go backward? God's going to test him by these ambassadors. It's going to be up to Hezekiah if he passes the test and goes forward or goes back. It is amazing what's entailed in this sign. Seriously. It's the Lord giving a hint of what lies ahead for Hezekiah. And you see it. You see it. Especially it's plain to us looking back on it. You see it here. You see what lies ahead for him with this sign of the sundial, with this shadow of the sundial. Because the parameters are established by God. But what's Hezekiah's choice going to be? Is he going to go forward? Is he going to go back? He chooses to go back, and I'll be. Guess what happens when those ambassadors come? He goes backward. Hezekiah goes backward instead of forward, and he doesn't handle it right, as we're going to see. Brethren, he temporarily, notice something. That shadow is going to temporarily go backward. And you know what? That's what happens to Hezekiah. He temporarily goes backward. But he repents. He repents. All right? So, brethren, I hope you see that, because to me it's fascinating and it's intriguing about this thing. Because think about it. God says, okay, I'll give you a sign. Well, here's the sign. 10 degrees, 40 minutes. Not an hour, 10 degrees, 40 minutes. But I'll give you the choice. You're going to go forward, you're going to go backward. And again, Gentile number, 40th number of testing and probation. There's a foreshadowing of that thing here. Is he going to go forward or is he going to go backward? He chooses backward, and that's exactly what he chooses too when he gets tested. He goes back temporarily. That's only going to be temporary. And he'll go forward again. And so does Hezekiah. But he stumbles. Okay? Listen, brethren, may God give you and I wisdom, insight, and discernment. Seriously. May God help us and give us true wisdom, discernment, and right judgment. Many think they have discernment, but they don't have it. Seriously. But may God give us truly wisdom, guidance, understanding, and discernment. Look at verse 12. At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Now, that sounds pretty good on the surface, but this was not merely a diplomatic nicety. There were other motives involved. Take your Bible, go to 2 Chronicles 32. 2 Chronicles 32. Second Chronicles 32, look at verse 31. Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. All right, so look, those ambassadors, they didn't come just because they heard Hezekiah had been sick. Brethren, that was a long trip. All right, that was a long journey. And so it wasn't just the thing of like, well, we heard you've been sick and we've come to send you a little diplomatic gift. No. To inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. They were wanting to find out what happened here. What happened? What caused this? Now look, if when that thing happens, it's going to affect things everywhere. But you know what? Those Babylonians no doubt knew that there in Israel, there were men that had insight and understanding. Because look, back to the days of Balaam and his prophecy about the nation of Israel. Daniel's going to come later on to the land of the Babylonians. And they're going to be impressed with the wisdom that him and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah have. So they know that what took place is centered around something going on in the land of Israel. And they go there to find out what is the deal. What happened here? What was the whole thing behind this? So again, Babylon was known to be very interested in astronomical and astrological matters. Okay. Evidently, they had heard of the details of what had happened concerning Hezekiah's sickness and the sign given him. Because think about it. Look what they know. They know he's been sick, right? They know he's been sick. They know something strange has taken place. All right? And so they probably heard different things and they want to find out for themselves what happened here. what took place. Because they were interested not just in astronomy, they were interested in astrology. So they're trying to figure out, I mean, what's the deal here? He was sick. What kind of god did he possibly call upon? What kind of, conjuring? Or what took place here? They would have been aware of what had happened, but they want all the info they can get about it. And you know what it is? It's a grand opportunity for Hezekiah to glorify the Lord. And he blows it. He's a good king. One of the best kings Israel had. One of their better ones. But you know what? He wants more years. Okay? He said, God, I've served you. God, I've did. Rather than, Lord, whatever you know best, God. You know best. Your mercy, your grace. That's okay. I'll give you 15 more. But he's going to test him. And those ambassadors come. Hezekiah, you want his chances here? To glorify God. And he blows it. And he quite literally, I mean literally, shows off. I'll prove it. And he brings wrath down that he has to repent about. A situation that starts to bring wrath and he has to repent of. He had a situation to glorify the Lord, but he blows it. All right, look here, brother. Let me say this. Stay on your toes. Stay on your toes. There may be a double motive behind what seems a nice act. Okay? Stay on your toes. You can't afford, you can't assume. Stay on your toes. There may be a double motive by what seems on the surface to be just a nice act. All right? Look at events as opportunities to glorify God, not you. Look at events that take place as opportunities not to show how much God has blessed you. Not to show how much you... Look at as opportunities to give glory to God. To glorify Him. All right? Look at verse 13. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them. You know what we would call it? Showing off. As you use the phrase, we've all done it sometime in our life, showing off. He showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. What did he do? He showed off. Instead of humbly telling them, well, here's what happened. I prayed, and the God that is the true and only God, not your Marduk, not your, any of the gods of Babylon or anything, or Baal, none of that. The true God extended my life. He was merciful to me, and he's been so good to me. Instead of that, Hezekiah says, let me show you this, guys. Let me show you this. Look at this. Look at this. And you know what those guys are doing? This, oh, wow, it's kind of, whoo, boy, that's something as a car. They're taking notes. And they're going to be back. Go to 2 Chronicles 32. 2 Chronicles 32. Verse 25. Look at verse 24. In those days, Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. What did he do? He got lifted up. God's given me 15 more years. Look at all I've got. Look at all the stuff I've... Look at. He showed off. He showed off. He showed off and he's going to pay a price for it. Look at Second Chronicles 32, verse 31. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors, all the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all those in his heart. As God, what are you going to do? Because, look, God left him to try him. In other words, Hezekiah, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Hezekiah? Just like with the sundial, Hezekiah, your choice. What are you going to do? Hezekiah, what are you going to do? It's going to be 10 degrees, Hezekiah, 10 degrees, 40 minutes. But you make the choice. You going forward, you going backward, Hezekiah. And when those ambassadors came, again, 10 ambassadors, probation, testing, what did he do? You going to go backward for Hezekiah? You going to go forward? What are you going to do? He went back. He went back. And he got prideful and he showed off. And there was wrath. But thanks God, it was temporary. He humbled himself. But that wrath comes later on. It comes later on. Because not did just he get lifted up, but Jerusalem with him. Jerusalem with him. And he humbled himself. I don't know if the rest of Jerusalem humbled themselves with him. I don't know. We'll see if later on if they did. But he humbled himself down. But the wrath comes later on. Y'all, look here. You got to understand something. You may get something right. You may get something right. But you may have led others astray in the meantime, and they may not get it right. You may get it right. You may get your bad attitude. You may get your rebellious. You may get your self-will. You may get it right. But you know what? Others that followed it and saw it may not get it right. You got to understand that. Y'all look at me. Thanks be to God, we get some things right. But often we have influenced others and they don't get things right. All right? Look here. Let's go on. Brethren, showing off is a symptom of pride, of a lifted up heart. Go to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, verse 17. Showing off is a matter of pride. It's a symptom of a lifted up heart. Ezekiel 28, verse 17. Talking about the devil. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy reason by wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Hezekiah possibly had fallen off from his Bible reading. Go to Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17. Now look, y'all have heard me say it before and I'll say it again. Y'all listen. You know the saints of God ought to be reading their Bible. Well, to be. But brethren, look here. Don't be going around asking each other, especially in an accusatory way, if you're reading your Bible. It's not your place to get somebody right. You understand? Wives, do not ask your husband, are you reading your Bible? You're not the Lord. You're not his mom, your wife. It's not your place. Guys, look here. Don't be going in an accusatory way to your wife because you got to break her back. You can sit down. You can sit down with the right attitude because you are the husband. You are the authority. You can sit down with a caring attitude. But you know what, brother? When you come across somebody, well, are you reading your Bible? Are you doing this? That don't work. Because, let me tell you something. Folks can receive something from the Lord and by His Spirit that not received from you and I that's coming across like that. Yeah. As a spur. It don't work. Young folks, you remember that. I'm going to tell you. You know what I've seen? I could name it off to you. Have I not through the years? You see it. Look here. Homes that are in a mess because of ladies, sisters, who try to get their husbands right instead of doing right and trusting God. You will produce the opposite effect. They didn't understand that. And get that. And don't ever, ever forget it. You understand? Let me tell you something. I've learned as a pastor. You gotta take, and not everything that you see, you gotta let God direct, and you gotta let God guide. Listen to me. Y'all, you will produce opposite effects. Hezekiah, listen, I think he fell off his Bible reading. And I'll show you why in a minute. And we may fall off our Bible reading. But brethren, look here. It's kind of like, let me explain something to you. How many of you fellas, I bet you've seen this. How many of you fellas have gone and talked to a brother in the Lord who is maybe not doing right, just going through some battles. But you know, if I start bringing up Scripture, he already knows them Scriptures. He already knows the Scriptures. And hadn't you sensed the Lord telling you, give him a pat on the back and tell him I'm praying for you. Hang in there. And I'm talking about sometimes where somebody's even doing wrong. Do you understand? Brethren, be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Be sensitive to the Spirit of God. There's a time, brethren, that look, what are you going to do? They know the verses. I told before, brother, look, you know the deal. Love you, praying for you. Get on board, do the thing. Brethren, let the Lord guide and direct. Deuteronomy 18, look at this. Or 17, Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So the king was supposed to have a copy of the word of God and read it continually all his days, that he may prolong his days. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? You say, Brother Austin, what are you saying? Well, what happened? What got this whole thing started? The Lord told Hezekiah, get your house in order because you're going to die. And Hezekiah goes and turns his face to the wall and he prays. And the Lord says, okay. Okay. I'll give you 15 more years. But he's going to prove him. And those ambassadors come and in his pride, he gets lifted up. Well, you know what, brethren? You know why the Bible says that king was supposed to read the Bible continually all his days? That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, to the end he may prolong his days. Isn't that something? Why, Hezekiah, if you're staying in that book like you're supposed to, it'll prolong your days in the amount God wants them to be. So the Bible says God left him to prove what was in his heart, to show what was in his heart. There was something there God knew was there. And he allowed these circumstances to bring it out and to show it. Hezekiah might have been a little better off just to say, Lord, I'd like to have some more days, but your will, Lord, whatever you want. But he said, I've served you, I've done, and God gives him 15 more. But he tests him with it. He doesn't seem to pass the test. He may have fell off his Bible reading. Brethren, I'm just going to tell you, that was a kingly privilege to read the Bible. And you and I, the Bible says God's made us kings and priests unto himself in Jesus Christ. And so that's why it's important to read our Bible. It's important to read our Bible. You say, well, Brother Dawson, sometimes I don't feel like I'm... That's okay, just read it. Just read it. Just read it. Just read it. Now, the devil will try to attack you while you're reading your Bible. He quoted Scripture to Christ. Try to take it out of context. He'll attack you while you're reading your Bible. Press on. Press on. Press on. Press on. All right. Go back to 2 Kings 20. Watch this. 2 Kings 20. Verse 14. Then came Isaiah, the prophet, unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. All right, so look here. A thing, a person, or a situation may seem far enough removed to let down your guard in how you deal with them. But it is never safe to do wrong in any way. Never. See, Hezekiah was like, look what he said. He said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. In other words, a long way off. These guys don't live right here. It's a long way off. So you know what? There are no threat. I mean, if it's someone from Moab, or if it's maybe somebody from Egypt, no, I ain't gonna show them everything I got. You know, that guy's from Babylon. It's a long way off. Look, let me show you guys something. And this, This. Isaiah said, where'd it come from? From far, far, Babylon. Well, they took notes, and they're going to be back. Listen, brethren, it is never safe to do wrong in any way, shape, or form. In showing off, Hezekiah whetted their appetite to come against the nation of Judah and to take spoil. Hezekiah felt it was safe to show off to them. It is never safe to act pridefully or in a wrong manner. Never. Never. It is never safe to act pridefully and in a wrong manner. Never, never, never. Never is. Do right, stay humble, and you will never have to worry about covering your tracks or worry about if someone or something can make trouble for you. You understand? Stay humble. Stay low. You don't have to worry about covering your tracks. You don't have to worry about playing political games or intrigue or some kind of chess game with others. Just be real. Just real. Just humble. Just honest. You don't worry about it. Let them play their games. You're okay. You're all right. But anytime you get lifted up, anytime you think that it's okay to handle a situation the wrong way, boom, the devil sees his opportunity. He sees his opportunity anytime. We may think that the situation, it's like the asinine thing that I have known of saints to do. And it's just the most asinine, stupid thing. Brethren, there have been saints. You've heard that. You've seen probably those wicked posters and t-shirts, right? You know, what happens in blank place stays there. You know, if it's Vegas or wherever, you know, what happens there stays there. Ha, that's disgusting. That's disgusting. Nothing funny about that. Nothing funny about that stuff. But you know what? I have known professing Christians to go, you understand me? I have known professing Christians to leave their hometown and go places or go with other Christians and go to bars, strip joints. And it's almost like, are you saved? Are you saved? You can be different somewhere else that God don't see you where you're at? What? And they paid a price for it. Because be sure your sin will find you out, and it did get found out. And it's like, what? You want that show me? Brother, that is a mark. That's what happens when a church takes and dictates everything to people to where they file a checklist about how they're supposed to behave, and then they're not under their church no longer. But let me tell you something, if you're saved, you're always under the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yes, sir. There's something messed up about that. There's something messed up about the thing of where, oh, I'm not around the church or the preacher, so I can act like this, go to this place, do this, it's okay. But that's insane. That's insane. It's like I can go to a place where they do ungodly things because guess what that's saying? The power in your life is your church and your pastor. Do you understand? When you can do that, then the power of your life is your church and your pastor. That is dangerous. The power in your life is supposed to be the Holy Ghost of God and the Word of God. Not, okay, you know, I'm away from this now, and now I can do this, and now I can do that. But, you know, well, you wouldn't do it in your hometown?
Exactly.
What in the world, man? Well, somebody might, what are you? I'm telling you, if I was a betting man, I'd put my money on somebody like that and lost.
Amen.
I ain't saying they are. I know how things can go. I'm just saying, come on. That's sure not the behavior of somebody loving God and want to walk with God. Come on, folks. I'm telling you what. I'm just telling you again, brethren, look here. Look here. There's never a situation that it's safe to do wrong or act prideful or wrong in. And brethren, if we know the Lord, It ought to be the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, not our church, not our pastor keeping us straight. Oh, thank God for those things. Don't get me wrong. That just adds to. That's not what should do it. It's the Lord abiding within us. Let me tell you something. It concerns me a lot about situations with young folks all across the land today and churches and all. Brother, I'm afraid so often that what they've got has been produced by man, their church, their pastor, their parent, whatever like that. But if the Lord is in you, He's the one that's going to keep you. You know what? When I left home, the moment I stepped my foot outside that door and left home, I just got closer and closer and closer to God. Seriously. I got closer to God. Because I was at home and under the authority of my parents. But my mom and dad, I think they'd admit it right now. There were some things that could have been done different, should have been done different at the time. But I was saved. And the Lord got me out of the house and just got me closer to Himself and closer to Himself. I mean, my parents are going to church. But there's some things that just I was allowed to do, probably shouldn't have been allowed to do. And Lord got me by Himself. The Lord got me by Himself, and since I was His, I just got closer and closer to Him. Because I was away from mom and dad, but I couldn't get away from God. He dwelled within me. And it was precious, because the very day I left home, that night, the Lord got a hold of me and said, "Young, it's me and you, bud. You can't hide it behind, you know, your parents allow you this and another, but you know," and you know what? And I just got closer and closer to Him. It concerns me, brethren. It concerns me. If the only thing keeping you straight is your church, your pastor, your parents, or another entity, then something's wrong. Don't be the Lord there. Make a new creature out of you. Look here. But you know what? That's what we've got today. Pastors and churches have that's all people have as far as their conviction. That's all they have as far as just a checklist. Listen, Paul said we're helpers of your joy. Pastor, the church is to encourage you, the pastor to help. You ought to have your own walk with God, let God guide and direct you in the ways of righteousness. Look here, let's go on here. All right. Look at verse 15, 2 Kings 20:15. So he said, "They're from a far country." And he said, "What have they seen in thine house?" And Hezekiah answered, "All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them." Okay, look here. Hezekiah, giddy, it seems, with joy over the healing, length of days, a miraculous sign given him, acts in a childish, prideful manner. It's almost like this. And this. And over here I got this. And I got this. And here's my spices. And here's my gold. And here's my... And I know he didn't do it quite like that, but you see the spirit of it. Brother, look here. No doubt the man is in quite a good mood. He's been healed. His days are lengthened, and God has given him a miraculous sign. And now people are coming from other countries to find out, wow, what happened here? What's going on? And instead of allowing it to drive him low, he lifted up. Yep. Hey, guys, let me show you this. Let me show you this. Yeah, this. And he just showed off. He appears to have been carried away with all the Lord had mercifully... Listen to me. He appears to have been carried away with all the Lord had mercifully done for him. And instead of boasting in the Lord, he showed it all off as if it were done meritoriously for him. Did you get that statement? Instead of giving the glory to the Lord and acknowledging what had been done was done mercifully to him, his actions show an attitude of it being done meritoriously for him. In other words, like, I've earned it. Because remember, how did he plead? He had said, "I've walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart. I've done that which is good in thy sight." just because God does something doesn't mean you might miss why He did it. You understand? Yes, God may very well do something, but not for the reason you thought. Not for the reason you thought. Not for the reason. Brethren, it's a rough thing when you've built up a whole structure of your own understanding. And it's a hard thing to come to grips with when you realize I've been wrong. And those things happen, brethren. And we've got to be willing to humble down. Yes, God indeed did some things here. He did it mercifully. Hezekiah is going to interpret it, it seems, meritoriously. In other words, that's how he pled. God, I've done this for you. And God, I've done this. And he shows off. Instead of making his boast in the Lord and humbling down, he misses the opportunity that the things that God did afforded him. He missed it. And he applied it to himself instead of making it something to glorify and honor the Lord with. Brethren, I want to tell you something. It's an awesome thing. When in studying and see this stuff, it'll make you swallow hard and go, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, God, help me. Oh, this is no playing around stuff. This is serious stuff. That's why, brethren, consistently in the Bible, stay humble. Give the glory to God. When you find yourself starting to touch that glory, or when you find yourself with an attitude of thinking you deserve this or that, brethren, you better get that thing right quick. You better humble down with that thing real quick. Real quick. Real quick. In all of this, he showed a lack of humility, prudence, discretion, and sagacity. Go to 2 Chronicles 32. Second Chronicles 32, verse 31. Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Brethren, oh, what lies within us outside of Christ that must be kept down by the power of the Spirit and the Word. He was a good king. But it was a king who didn't know the fullness of some of the depravity that still was within him. And brethren, look here. Outside of Jesus Christ, brethren, we can get to where we go along being saved and things good because, amen, praise the Lord. And you know, and God's goodness and mercy and grace to us. And we can almost get so used to it. And it becomes such a blessed way of life that we can tend to think it proceeds from us or our worth. We need to remind ourselves that outside of Jesus Christ, we are as wicked as the day is long. Amen. We were sinners needing to be saved. Amen. And still got the same flesh we had. And it is only by subduing it, staying around the things of God, in the Word of God, around the brethren, and chastening yourself, all right, and taking and judging yourself rather there, and trying to stay close. It's the only way you keep that in check. You let up, and it will not take long for that flesh to show itself, and for you to come to realize fresh and anew what you are outside of Jesus Christ. The Lord knows it. He knows it. Brethren, if things are going good for you right now, compared to the way things used to be with you when you were lost, it's because of the Lord. And never forget it. It's not one thing about you and I that's good. It's God. And as you yield to Him and stay around the things of Him, it's the goodness and mercy and grace of God, and give Him always that glory, and be careful of anything in you wanting to take some of that credit to yourself. When you sense it happening, kill it. Kill it and stay low. Real quick, go to Psalm 39 and we'll stop here. Psalm 39. Psalm 39, verse 5. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. And don't ever forget it. Brethren, the hope for you and I for victory daily is staying and humbling down and individually walking with the Lord. Walking with God. Keeping that flesh under and never deceiving ourselves into thinking that we've got to a place that we're safe from certain things ever. Oh, no. Stay down there. Stay down there. Stay low. Let's pray. Father, dear Lord, Father, you know, Lord, that I'm only teaching these things because we're going through your word. Lord, I'm not trying to look at Hezekiah with this critical, disdaining eye. Oh, no, Lord. Father, I shudder to think what I would have done. Lord, you couldn't trusted me with being a king someplace. Now, Lord, I know what I have in Christ, but I'm talking about, Lord, in a situation like Hezekiah, dear God, and that's a man that did love you. He did serve you. He did. But, Lord, you proved him. You showed what was there. And, Lord, you put this stuff so we can learn by. So, Father, Lord, you know I'm not trying to disparage or disdain Hezekiah. But Father, you put these things there for us to learn by. The tragic thing, Father, and I know that I believe, Lord, that Hezekiah would want us to learn from his life. Hezekiah, who's now in glory with you, Lord, I believe that Hezekiah would also want us to learn and not make those mistakes he did. Father, help us, Lord, to be so careful. Father, help us to never think that distance of any situation is a, Lord, a safety measure against doing wrong. Lord, never. Lord, never is it safe to do wrong or to lift up ourselves or to slack up. It's never safe. Hezekiah thought, they from a far country. What harm could they do? Yet they destroyed Judah. Father, please, help us to see the lesson. And never, Lord, take the attitude that, Lord, things that are wrong, attitudes that are wrong, or things that, Lord, are not Lord, are not of you, are safe things. The threat may not be immediate, but the threat is there nonetheless. Teach us and help us, Father. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.